Welcome to the DSA Shifting Perspective podcast.
Hi, I'm Richard Bailey, and you are listening to a Shifting Perspectives podcast. Thanks for joining me. In this edition, I'm delighted to introduce Dr. Sarah Gordy, MBE, who will be speaking to our guest today, the award-winning crime writer Anne Cleves. Sarah and Anne have a special connection, as Sarah played one of the characters in the ITV screen adaptation of Anne's book, The Long Call. And I know they are both fans of each other's work. So, over to you, Sarah.
Thank you, Richard. Hi, everybody. It's Sarah Gordy here. And it's my pleasure to host this very special edition of the Shifting Perspective podcast. When the Down Syndrome Association asked me if I would like to host the podcast, I was thrilled, and even more so when I found out who I would be speaking to. Anne Cleves is an award-winning crime writer whose books has been brought to life on television. Her Vera Starnoff's novel was dramatised as the TV detective series Vera, in which actor Daniel Lorre, who has Down syndrome, played the character Adam Beecher. The BBC also adapted her Settlers series into a popular drama, with two more series on the way. The Long Call has just been aired on RTV, and yes, I feature in the series. But less on that, and more about the lady behind the books. Hi, Anne.
Hiya. It's lovely to be here chatting to you. Last time I saw you, we were at the cast and crew screening of The Long Call, weren't we? And you looked so glamorous there.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Can you tell us a little about your life and how you became a writer? Did you also want to be a writer when you were growing up?
I always thought that I wanted to be a writer, but I never thought I'd be able to make a living at it. And in fact, even when my first book was published, for the first 20 years, I still had to work. I had to have a day job because I didn't earn enough as a writer. And it was only really with the first of the Shetland books that I could give up the day job and write full time. So now I feel so lucky to have not just the books, but also the TV series. But I think I always, even as a child, I was always telling stories, always making stuff up.
What was your writing process? Do you lock yourself in a room for months and just keep writing, or is it a slower, more organic process?
It's quite organic, although during COVID, it did feel very much that I was locked up in a room for months and just writing because there wasn't much else to do. And usually when a book comes out, I'm traveling. I go all over the world, really, promoting the stories these days. So COVID was a bit of a shock to the system, and I did get lots and lots of writing done. But usually I work very early in the morning. So I get up about 5:30 and I sit at the kitchen table. I work at a laptop and I get most of the writing done in the morning. That's my best time. After that, it's going for a walk or doing other things. But yeah, most of the writing is done early on.
Where do you get the ideas for your books from?
I think I get them from all over the place. It's from people I meet and things that I've done. So my idea for Lucy Braddock, who you play in The Long Call, came because a friend of mine was a carer for somebody with Down syndrome. So I understood a little bit about that. And then I had a friend here who has a daughter who has Down syndrome, and I got to know her quite well too. So it was chatting to Izzy here and asking about her life and what she did. And she's in independent living and she works in a cafe, a bit like Lucy Braddock in the second of the books, who's moved out from living with her dad to living on her own.
Your books include characters with Down syndrome and learning disabilities. Why do you include these characters?
I think because they were people that I knew and that I met. And I think everybody should be in a book. And the people I met were really interesting. I think I was just bowled over with Izzy's technical abilities, because I am just so bad at anything to do with technology. And there she was texting away, sorting out the telly for her mum. And I was just very impressed. And I think I wanted to make Lucy a bit of a hero. And she really, really is, isn't she, in the long call. Did you enjoy playing Lucy?
Yes, I did. Yes, thank you.
What did you like doing about her? Did you enjoy being on set? Because it did look lots of fun.
I love being on set and I love working on your project. It's really fantastic what you do. You're amazing women with amazing talent.
Well, that's very, very kind. I think you are too, because I've seen the first episode. Do you want to go on? You better. I'm supposed to be answering your questions and here I am bussing in. So go ahead and ask me some more questions.
That's okay, really. You have said in the past that you are trying to give a voice to people who might not usually be given the chance to speak. Is this true? And why do you think it's important to give people with disabilities voice?
I think everybody deserves a voice, don't they? And I think that in my books, I want to reflect the world as it is. And the world that it is have people who have disabilities and have different ways of seeing life. And I think I want to reflect all that in the world as I'm writing it. So in my most recent book, the second of the Matthew Venn books, there's a teenage boy who's very, very depressed. And I want to explain what he feels like, just as I want to explain what Lucy's dad feels like in the long call, when Lucy's dad is just so protective of her. And he wants to keep her sheltered and protected and at home. And he doesn't realise that she's actually quite independent.
You've said that you spoke to a friend of yours who has Down syndrome. When you were writing an uncle, why was that and how did they help?
Yeah, that was Izzy, my friend Izzy, who I've come to know. And I very much wanted to write Izzy's experience into the book because I don't know what it's like to have Down syndrome. So I needed to ask her. And I wanted to ask her things that would work for the plot. So we had a bit of a conversation. I just didn't want to assume that I could understand what Izzy was feeling. But of course, there is as many different people with Down syndrome as there are people without it. So every individual is going to be different, I think.
What do you think about the representation of people who have disabilities in books and TV?
I think we're getting a lot better at it, that we are using people with disabilities to play disabled people. And in the past, that probably wouldn't have been the case. And I think we're much more sympathetic, much more aware of real life than we might have been 10 or 20 years ago. Sarah, what do you think about that? What do you think about the representation of people with Down syndrome and with disabilities on television and in books?
I think it's great because it gives them voice and also gives them a career that they want them to see how talented they are as actors myself.
How did you get into acting?
I started my acting career back at school when I was little, and I had mum reading books to me. My mum's mother read fairy tales to me. It all started from there, really.
So you obviously have a brilliant imagination. You were able to see the characters in your head, and then now you're able to play them.
Yes.
How do you get into that character?
Well, I always read the written lines and live in what my character's love is in the background, and I do a lot of research on that. And I always love living one life in my head. Without the character in my head, I can't work.
That's amazing. So you actually live two lives. You live your life as Sarah Gordy, then you live the life of the character that's in your head. See, I do that a bit when I'm writing as well, because I think writing's a bit like acting, because I have to get inside of the head of the character and see the world through their eyes and step inside their shoes. And I think that must be what you do.
Yes.
Brilliant. Sarah, you told me how you got into character, but what was your first part, your first role as a professional actor?
My first part was on Peep Practice, and that was fantastic because I loved the writing. I also loved the other actors working with me as well. We do get on like a house on fire, me and my friends and the cast.
And so that was the beginning. And how did you feel when you watched that?
It was pretty weird watching myself on television, and I said to my mum, did I really do that? And I did, and it felt great because now I'm watching myself on every project I'm on and involved in, and I always love seeing myself. How does it feel watching your characters on TV?
I don't think they feel like my characters once they're on television. I think they belong to you, who are the actors and the director and the script writer and the producer, because I don't feel that those books belong to me once they're being read by a reader. Because I don't know what you think, but I think every reader brings their own imagination and their own experience to a book. So I have pictures in my head. I have very clear pictures in my head about the characters that I'm writing about. But then every reader will have a different picture. And so giving it up to a production company to do their own thing is just one stage on, really. So they don't really belong to me. So I love sitting at home with a cup of tea and watching the shows like everybody else watches the shows.
Did you always intend your books to become TV dramas, and how did it happen?
I never thought that they possibly would. I explained that for the first 20 years, nobody much read my books. I mean, I was being published and I had a book a year out, but very few of them got onto the main bookshop shelves. Lots went into libraries. But it's usually the bestsellers, you know, that become television successes, not people like me. And it happened quite by chance that somebody went into an Oxfam shop in North London and picked a book from the shelf to take on holiday. And they chose the first of the Vera books. But the woman who picked it up was called Elaine Collins, and she was books executive for ITV Studios. And they were looking for a new drama to make for a Sunday night to replace Inspector Frost. And they wanted something with a strong female lead. So just amazing piece of luck that happened. And I'm very grateful to her. I think she's like my fairy godmother.
Nononko was recently aired on RTV. Were you eager to watch it?
I was really eager to watch it because, like you, I'd seen the first episode, but I hadn't seen any of the others. So just to sit there and watch the story play out And I'd heard the script because I sat in on your read through when you and the other actors were reading the script. So I had an idea of how the script played out. But how wonderful to sit there and hear it with the music, with the soundtrack, and to see that beautiful scenery where you filmed, and to watch the actors bringing the characters to life. I really loved it.
Apart from writing, what else do you enjoy doing?
I love walking. My husband died about 4 years ago, so I've been on my own since then. And so I really love just going out, and I don't particularly want to meet other people, but I love to see them. So I go out, and I live on the coast, so I walk along the beach and maybe stop for a coffee and then walk home and start writing again.
What books do you enjoy reading yourself?
I love reading crime fiction because that's what I write. And so I love mysteries and detective stories. I like books with some form of resolution at the end. So we know that justice has been done and order has been restored. And I think that's what crime fiction does very well. And it's also, I think, why crime fiction has become so popular, especially during COVID and when things were so uncertain in the world, that we all wanted that certainty at the end of the book.
Is there anything you think our listeners would be surprised to hear about you?
I wonder if they might be a bit surprised at some of the jobs I've done, because I've done all sorts of quite different things, because I dropped out of university. I don't have any academic qualifications at all. And I've worked as a bird observatory cook in Shetland. I was an auxiliary coast guard. I was a childcare officer. I ran a women's refuge. I sold flights for British Airways. So I've done quite a number of very interesting things. But my favourite job ever was working in public libraries as a reader development officer. So promoting stories and setting up reading groups and hosting author events. I loved doing that, though I did get a bit grumpy because they never let me promote my own books.
If you had any advice for budding authors listening to this, what would it be?
It would be nosy, be curious about other people, because if you're not at all interested in what other people's lives, then you won't want to write about them. And then once you've got a good idea, get to the end. It's tough, you know, you just want to power on through and get to the end of the story, and then you can go back and edit and polish it up and make it right.
Is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners?
I'd like to say a huge thank you to the Down Syndrome Association for hosting this and giving me the chance to chat to you, Sarah, because we only had a brief moment to say hello to each other when we met. And it's been so lovely to have a chance to chat to you.
And thank you so much for letting me to speak to you as well. And you're a marvellous woman with amazing talent. Thank you so much. It's been an honour.
Well, thank you. And thanks for playing my character so beautifully.
Oh, thanks very much to Sarah and Anne for a really fascinating conversation. My name is Richard Bailey, and you have been listening to a Shift in Perspectives podcast brought to you by the Down Syndrome Association. You can listen to more of the series by going to the DSA website or by searching on Spotify, Audioboom, or one of the other podcast platforms.
Please subscribe and tell your friends about us. Thank you very much for listening.